Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Hello from Harvest Church. We sure wish we could all be together in person tonight, but we know it's just much safer for us all to be apart. But we're still unified in heart, and we have all come together to gather together all around this county from every corner to lift the love and light of Jesus. And so, Lord, we just welcome your presence in every home, every household watching, just are inviting your love just to fill this space. So find a comfortable spot to join in and worship with us. Maybe you want to grab a cup of hot cocoa or your favorite blanket. But just gather your family and friends around, whoever you're able to be with today. And let's get to that place where we're going to worship together. Would you pray with me as we begin our time? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you came, that you chose to enter this world just as a helpless baby. That you would understand what it's like to stub your toe and skin your knee, that you're not just a faraway God, but you came to walk among us, to know sorrow and grief and pain and suffering. You understand us so intimately and intricately. And God, we just pray that your presence would be felt by everyone who's tuned in, either live in this moment or later watching the replay, that you're beyond space and time, that you are everywhere, Lord. And so we just welcome your presence just to come right now. Emmanuel, wonderful counselor, almighty God and Prince of Peace, would you reveal more of yourself to us this night, just as you came in that stable in Bethlehem and you changed the world forever. So let joy bubble up in our hearts tonight as we celebrate the birth of our King. And we declare joy to the world tonight, for the Lord is come. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Nature. you that you came. What a gift. We come to adore you tonight, Jesus. Just to lay all of our burdens at your feet, Jesus. To say that we have need of you. So we bring our hearts, every anxious thought, every care and concern. There's nothing that's ever out of your sight. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful. Come and behold.
Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hey, thank you so much for inviting us into your home this Christmas Eve 2020. This is not how we intended to have church today, but this is how we are having church today. In your homes, live fed, live streamed, and we're so grateful for this opportunity. And we're praying that as we have made this choice, that everybody around us stays healthier for the balance of this year and beyond that. It has been our tradition. It has become our tradition to read a Christmas story, a children's Christmas story every year. And so we have a great Christmas story this year. And then I will be sharing a 20-minute message or so also following that. And then we'll sing some more songs, and then we will just continue to enjoy the holiday season. So I want to take a moment and pray before we get into the reading, and then we'll read the story and hear a brief message. So shall we bow our heads in prayer? Lord, thank you so much for your amazing grace. Jesus, we are so thankful that you were born into this earth, into this world, so that we might know you, so that we might be known by you. So God, I pray that every person would have an encounter with you, and a personal encounter with you that would be life-altering. God, that you would reveal yourself to people, that you would work in people's lives, and that you would change lives. That's our prayer. That's our desire from you today, Lord God. And so as we celebrate your birth, be glorified. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. To the story. 'Twas the evening of Christmas. 'Twas the evening of Christmas when all through the town, every inn was so crowded, no room could be found. Tired, Mary and Joseph, who went door to door, at last found a place on a small stable floor. Thank goodness, said Mary, who tiptoed inside. The mice saw the donkey and scurried to hide. The rest of the creatures all cuddled up tight in hopes that they might have a calm, peaceful night. The pigeons were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of breadcrumbs danced round in their heads. The cows closed their eyes and the oxen laid down. The doves cooed so gently the lambs made no sound. The moon through the trees was just starting to glow with a glimmer of light on the stable below, when quite by surprise came a newborn babe's cry that woke all the animals sleeping nearby. Up jumped the cows and the oxen and sheep. Up popped the pigeons aroused from their sleep. They all came to gaze at the small baby boy as his mama and papa hugged him with joy. Now donkeys, now cows, now pigeons and sheep, now oxen and mice in the manger did peep. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples so sweet as they nuzzled his fingers and cute little feet. And out in the fields, taking care of their sheep, some shepherds were just getting ready to sleep when all of a sudden they had such a fright as a whole choir of angels lit up the night. But the song of the angels, the words that they said, soon let the men know they had nothing to dread. Dear shepherds, it's wonderful news that we bring. A Savior is born. He is Jesus, the King. They ran to the stable and peeked through the door and saw something never imagined before. There, in a manger, a baby boy lay. No blankets, no pillow, his bed made of hay. And to that small stable came three splendid kings with gifts for the baby, all beautiful things. They jumped from their camels and knelt at his feet with their frankincense, gold, and myrrh that smelled sweet. The stable was filled with a wonderful light as stars above Bethlehem twinkled so bright. And high in the heavens, God whispered, "My son, you'll bring hope to the world, and love everyone. Then back to their slumbers, the animals curled, amazed at this babe who had entered their world. As Mary and Joseph got ready for bed, they snuggled their baby and kissed his sweet head. As Mary laid Jesus asleep in the hay, she thought about all that had happened that day. The mice heard her whisper as she tucked him in tight. "Merry Christmas, my son, and to all a good night." What a great story. 'Twas the evening of Christmas. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Christmas Eve, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But before, in keeping with tradition, a joke. A joke. It's Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve, and a man is out shopping, and he realizes he's going to be late, so he calls his wife and says, "Babe, I'm out shopping, doing some last-minute shopping, so I'm going to be home a little late." And she, out of curiosity, asked the question, "Well, where are you shopping?" And he said, "Well, you know, you remember that jewelry store where we saw those beautiful diamond-studded earrings that you appreciated so much?" She said, "Yes, I remember, I remember." He said, "Well, I'll be at the hardware store next door." Silly Christmas jokes, but they are part of the tradition around here. We've titled the message today, "Fear Not, Jesus Brings Hope to the World." And we'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 today. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Imagine. I mean, this is a common reaction when an angel of the Lord appears to people. There's great fear. There's great awe. There's great honor. For example, when Balaam, in the Old Testament, when Balaam saw the angel of the Lord, he bowed down and fell on his face. Great fear, great honor, great awe. Samson's mother was visited by the angel of the Lord, and she described the angel as awesome. Now, we use that word a lot, and we don't always use it appropriately. We use it for all kinds of different stuff, but the word awesome means extremely impressive, daunting. It means overwhelming, inspiring great admiration, apprehension, or fear. This is the proper and expected response when someone encounters a heavenly being. I mean, the glory of the Lord shone around them. You can imagine. I imagine a great light, a sense that someone powerful is present. This night was like no other night they had experienced, and so great fear. When Samson's mother had a second encounter with the angel of the Lord, she and her husband fell on their faces to the ground. There was even fear that they might die from their encounter. There was fear that they might die because they had encountered the angel of the Lord. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, encountered the angel Gabriel, she was greatly troubled. She was troubled by his message and fearful. The angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. It's a lot to take in for a teenage girl who's just found out or about to find out that she's going to give birth to a baby. The good news, no matter who you are today, you have found favor with God. No matter who you are today, you have found favor with God. I mean, think about it. In what ways did Mary find favor with God? Well, God revealed himself to Mary. And then God worked in Mary's life. And then God changed Mary's life for the wonderful good. For every one of us, all of us, God wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to reveal himself to you specifically. God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to work in your life, and he wants to change your life for the wonderful good. This was certainly the experience of the shepherds. Back to Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And the angel said to them," to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." God revealed himself to the shepherds through the angel. God worked in their life and God changed their life for the wonderful good. They got a front row seat to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, to his new life here in the earth. The shepherds experienced something otherworldly. Imagine their awe, their fear. They didn't know what to expect when the angel appeared. And the message of the angel was this: fear not. Fear not. Whatever the Lord wants to do in your life, his message to you is the same. Fear not. Fear not. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to work in your life, and he wants to change your life for the wonderful good. And he wants to comfort you with the truth that you've got nothing, absolutely nothing to fear. These angels that we've been talking about, they're messengers of God speaking for him. Their message is God's message: fear not. Maybe you've got some fear in you when you think about God. Maybe it just makes you uncomfortable to think about God. God's message is the same to you as it was to Mary and as it was to the shepherds. Fear not. Fear not. God sent an angel to tell of his plan to send Jesus into the world to be the Savior of the world. This is the good news. Verse 10, the second part says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So what is this good news that the angel was talking about? What might possibly bring great joy to all people? Well, it's the news of a Savior. The news of a Savior is the good news for all people. Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Fear not. Jesus brings hope to the world because he loves you, because he loves everyone. It is because of his great love for us that he willingly became our Savior. We read about his great love in John 3. Verses 16 through 18, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." The angel Gabriel is telling the shepherds what has happened. The Savior has been born. That's what Christmas is all about every year. It's a declaration that the Savior has been born. We declare that to you tonight, today, as we have this service and stream it into your home or into your office or wherever it is that you may be watching. The Savior has been born. Luke chapter 2, verse 12 says this, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there with the angel, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." I wonder how big a multitude is. Was it 100? Probably not. Was it 1,000? Probably not. It could have been tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions. We don't know, but there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is a profound moment in history, a profound moment in time, when God, out of his great love, sends his Son Jesus Christ into the earth so that we might know him and experience his love. Fear not. Jesus brings hope to the world because he loves everyone and because he has the ability to give peace to everyone. Jesus has the ability to give peace to everyone. In the Greek, that word means peace between individuals. God wants to bring peace between you and him. He desires to bring peace in your relationship to him, to the Father, to God. In James 3:18, it says, "And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. He came into the world as the Savior to make peace between God and man. The reason for his birth, the reason for Christmas, Jesus came to bring peace. One of his names is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the only reason and the only way we can truly live peacefully with God. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace because he restores our broken relationship with God and provides the assurance of eternal life. Every one of us needs the Prince of Peace. We need peace in our relationship with God. We need God to establish that miraculous work in our lives. The birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ makes that peace possible. I found that real peace can only be experienced in Christ. It's not in stuff. I've tried. I've tried finding peace by adding stuff to my life. All that stuff does is make me busy and feel responsible for all kinds of stuff. It's not in stuff. It's not in romantic relationships. It's not in money, not in achievements, not in position or status. It's nothing external. It is found. Peace is found in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Real peace is found in Christ alone. Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." It's a question. Who is God pleased with? What does that even mean? Well, apart from Christ, it's not possible for us to be pleasing to God, but in Christ we are. We are pleasing. Fear not. Jesus brings hope to the world because he loves everyone. And because he has the ability to give peace to everyone. And number three, because he makes it possible for us to please God. Jesus makes it possible for us to please God. Have you ever wondered in your life, how do I please God? Well, Jesus has done that on your behalf. And as we find our lives hidden in Christ, as we accept the grace and mercy and the love of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves hidden in Christ and acceptable and pleasing to God. There is peace among those with whom he is pleased. So how does Jesus make it possible for us to please God? And why don't we please God in the first place? Well, there's a great question. Well, there's a little word with big implications that the Bible talks about from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And this word is sin. Sin. What is sin? What is sin? Sin is anything that is displeasing to God. So there is this thing called sin that has interrupted our communion, our relationship with God. Sin is anything that is displeasing to God. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned. Romans 3:23 in the Bible, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The penalty for that sin is death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This penalty is the whole reason Jesus came and died on the cross. It's the reason he was born, he lived, he was crucified, and then ultimately resurrected from the dead. Jesus was born so that he might die for me. Jesus was born so that he might die for you, so that we might know a relationship with God and be pleasing to him. So How does Jesus make it possible for us to please God? Well, Jesus died in my place and yours to pay the penalty for our sin. Have you ever had someone pay a debt for you? You owed maybe a big debt and you had somebody come along as a gift to you and just pay that off? I have. It's a liberating feeling to have that debt finally lifted. Have you ever had someone forgive a debt? Just say, you know that thing that you owed me, that money that you owed me? Don't worry about it. What a great relief that is, because debt can be a heavy burden to us as human beings. But when somebody pays that debt for us, or when somebody forgives that debt, it's an incredibly liberating experience. This is precisely what Jesus has done for us. And he's the only one who could do it. Jesus, the God-man, fully God and fully man, came to cancel that debt, to forgive that debt, to pay that debt for us. What a relief it is to have that debt forgiven, paid, and eliminated. This is what he did. He died so that our sin debt might be forgiven, and he has made it possible for us to have peace with God through those actions. This is the gospel. And this is why we have nothing to fear. Fear not. Jesus brings hope to the world. And I want to say it this way. Jesus can bring hope to your world. Maybe your world is feeling very small right now. Maybe you've been hunkered down, quarantined, staying close to home, fearful, anxious, nervous, worried. Jesus can bring hope to your world. Wherever you are, Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. He loves you. He has the ability to give peace to your life, in your circumstance, whatever it is that you're going through. And he makes it possible for you to please God. It's an amazing gift, Jesus, the person and work of Jesus. It's an amazing and profound gift. And I just want to say, I hope you, and I hope in a fresh way that together we experience God, and that he works in our life, and that he changes our life for the wonderful good. Let's take a moment and pray, and then we're going to sing some more songs and wrap up the service here in just a few moments. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this time, for the opportunity to be encouraged through a wonderful children's story, a book that communicates your birth in such a creative way, Lord God. And we're thankful for the Word of God that is eternal and has the power to change lives, Lord God. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to gather and to stream this message so that people's lives might be touched and ministered to. God, I pray that this Christmas season, wonderful and profound things would take place in the lives of every person on the Central Coast and throughout the world as people tune in and hear the message, fear not, fear not. Jesus brings hope to the world. Bring that hope, we pray. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing some songs.
You know, this would normally be the time where we would light a few candles. So maybe at home, if you have some candles, maybe find some candles and light them. Maybe turn on your Christmas lights on the tree. But we do this as a symbol to remember that Jesus is the light of the world, and that he came into the darkness to be the light. And I love that the whole world lights up at Christmas time. And so let's just celebrate him as we sing these songs together. The light of the world.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior. Sin and there.
first verse just one more time. Just our voices to celebrate the light. Thank you for being with us. And I just pray that each family, as they celebrate this year, that you would just be in our midst, that you, Lord, would make this a special year, even though it's a little different. Would you just surprise us with your presence, with your joy, your peace, your love, your hope in our hearts. We pray that your perfect love would just cast out all fear, that we wouldn't have anything to be afraid of. So thank you for this time to worship together. May your love and light fill our hearts and homes this Christmas and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful night and day tomorrow, celebrating the birth of our King. We look forward to worshiping with you again soon on Sunday. Have a wonderful night. Merry Christmas.